I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation.
From the Polyester Pleasure Palace, on the shores of beautiful Lake Washington, or as close as I can get in my price range, it's Jim Valley, and the show is Wrestling Road Stories. When the beer was cold, the rats were hot, and wrestlers sold out everywhere. Everywhere. Each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast, we are here in the United States, 5 o'clock on the East Coast, 2 o'clock over here where I am on the West Coast, and we are streaming live around the world. I hope you are joining us live each and every Wednesday here at PW Torch Livecast. Plus, you can download it and stream at pwtorch.com, pwtorchlivecast.com, and commercial-free. All the ads out. If you are a VIP member, and we encourage you to sign up at pwtorch.com/go-VIP. But, hey, man, I want to thank you for the numbers. Thank you for listening to Wrestling Road Stories. It is the wrestling of your childhood. All your favorite old-school wrestlers like this guy.
Hey, this is the Nature Boy Ric Flair looking for Jim, by God, woo, Valley. Hey, Jim, I know you're the man. You are Jim, woo, by God, Valley. And I'm Ric Flair, 14-time World Heavyweight Champion, and telling you, Jim Valley, you are, woo, the man.
Wrestling Road Stories is about your love and my love of professional wrestling. Now, when I did the Saturday show for the live cast, I did get a couple of tweets and things from people who didn't really get me, which is fine. I can be a little sarcastic at times. I can, I like to make fun of us as wrestling fans. And I know Bruce Mitchell hates it, but Bruce Mitchell hates everything I do, even when I'm right. That's when he really hates it, actually. But Wrestling Road Stories, when I joke about stuff, because everyone jokes, or everyone who isn't a wrestling fan, thinks that we're all idiots. We all have that relative or that friend. You like wrestling? Or the people who don't know any wrestling fans, and they all think that we're living in trailers, we have no teeth, we're kissing our sister, and that we love wrestling, that we don't know that it's not what it is. And I just kind of mock that, because I've had some great people follow me on Twitter at Jim Valley. I've had college professors and lawyers and all bunch of different people. And wrestling is from every walk of life. And that's one of the reasons that I joke about it, is that, as I always say, as always, you don't have to be white to be white trash. So this is the wrestling of your childhood. It is Wrestling Road Stories. And make no mistake about it, I love me some wrestling. You love you some wrestling. And that's what we're going to do each and every week here on the show. It's a fun show. I want to have fun with this. And Wrestling Road Stories is a philosophy as far as, You know, everybody's got a podcast, Jim Ross, Edge and Christian, and our guest today, Tony Schiavone, who's going to be coming up here in just a few minutes. But everybody's got one, and, you know, I'm just me. I'm just this lowly guy living in Seattle. I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor. But, you know, so Wrestling Road Stories talks about, you know, of days gone by where guys were running the road, where guys were, you know, with the rats, like I said, and the cold beers, or, you know, the time when cable TV was king. Just different times in wrestling, from the fun to the stupid to whatever. This is the wrestling of your childhood, from the territory days all the way up to, say, I don't know, Ruthless Aggression, something like that. We could talk about a lot of different eras, and we will talk about all of those different eras. Matter of fact, Tony Schiavone went through a lot of those eras as well. So he's going to be coming up here in just a few minutes. By the way, if you want to dial in and talk to Tony Schiavone, the number is 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. So you can call in if you're listening live, and I hope you will. By the way, push 1, I believe, if you do want to get in the queue and talk to Tony Schiavone today. They don't tell you that anymore for some reason on Blog Talk, and I don't know why they do that. Also, next week, very excited, Brennan Martin, who's got a book about his grandmother, Teeny, Christine Jarrett, the mother of Jerry Jarrett, the great-grandmother of Jeff Jarrett, the whole Jarrett Memphis wrestling. She is the matriarch of the family, and there's a book out. Talk about Wrestling Road Stories. This book epitomizes, this book, Teeny, Professional Wrestling's Grand Dame, has a lot of great stories. Some are positive, some are negative, but they're all pretty real. And we'll talk to Brennan Martin next week, and I encourage you to check out the book, Teeny, Professional Wrestling's Grand Dame, before we talk to Brennan next week. But before we go to this week and Tony Schiavone, I want to talk to you about last week. Tommy Wildfire Rich. How great was Tommy? I was listening to it last week, or listening to it last week's show right before we came on the air, and Tommy was great. And the Tommy Rich School of Wrestling, look forward to that opening up coming up this weekend in Myrtle Beach, South Kakalaki, with Tommy Rich and everybody there from Wrestler Weekly. You can follow it on Twitter, The Progress, at Wrestler Weekly. And they're going to have Austin Idol and Tommy and Tony Atlas out there coming up this weekend. And so check it out, the Tommy Rich School of Wrestling. But a lot of people on a couple of message boards, and I saw this on social a little bit too, where we're talking about this clip last week from Tommy Rich. So if you weren't here last week, and you really should be, because I try to get gems and fun stories and cool things to happen each and every week. And if you weren't here last week, this is what you missed. What's your next question, Kylan?
Okay, question number 2.
Are you in trouble?
Tommy Rich asking the PW Torch mascot, Kylan, are you drunk? Just for the record, Kylan is not drunk. Kylan, of course, has a condition similar to MS, but I could understand to the someone like Tommy Rich, given the people that he's run the roads with, he sounds a lot like some of those people at closing time. But no, and Kylan took it all in stride. It was very, very funny, and I'm sure we'll talk to Kylan a little bit later on. But I just had, that was so funny last week. Tommy Rich asking Kylan. What's your next question, Kylan?
Okay, question number 2.
Are you drunk?
So no. No, he is not drunk. So anyway, we'll see what happens with Tony Schiavone coming up. Tony Schiavone, by the way, it was a year ago, almost to the day, that I got to meet and interview Tony Schiavone at last year's NWA Charlotte Fan Fest that Greg Price puts on. He's not doing it this year, but I hope that he will maybe next year or something like that. But so here's what happened. I don't know if you followed it on Twitter. If you want to follow me on social media, at Jim Valley, J-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. So please follow me on Twitter. Let's see if I can get my social numbers up. And by the way, one more thing. If you want to follow me on Facebook, you're welcome to add me on Facebook as well. Just look for Jim Valley. There's a couple of Jim Valleys, matter of fact. There's one who's famous. Not me. I'm just the lowly Jim Valley. But my cousin, Jim Valley, was in Paul Revere and the Raiders, the famous 1960s band. And matter of fact, I will always be jealous of that Jim Valley because he got to be on the 1966 Batman TV show. When they're showing Penguin and the Penguin is running for office, the band at the Penguin's campaign headquarters is Paul Revere and the Raiders. And I believe the bass player is my cousin, Jim Valley. So be careful about that. Don't add him because he's a great man. He's super nice, super great, an old hippie who has kept his values. I just love him. But how do you want to say? He wouldn't understand or he probably know anything about pro wrestling. So be sure. And by the way, that's what my point was. You want to follow me on Facebook? That's cool. Just add me. But send me a message if we don't have like the same similar friends, because I don't know what it is with Facebook. It's becoming like MySpace where like every day I get like a bunch of requests from like, you know, webcam girls and stuff. And I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you. So just in case I think you're a webcam girl, just send me a message just so I know. But I mean, if we have the same friends, same similar mutual friends, then I'll get it. But if by chance we don't, send me a message so I know. So that way I'll know that it's, you know, you listen to the show and all of that stuff. And I'll certainly add you on Facebook as well. So Tony Schiavone. I met Tony about a year ago at the Charlotte Fan Fest that they did every year in Charlotte. And if you follow me on social, you may remember that I just went there as a fan. And I was there, and I got up one morning, or I was in bed at the hotel for the first morning of the Fan Fest after a rough night because I had a terrible flight. But anyway, because I had to sleep in Detroit on the floor in the Detroit airport. It was just, it was miserable. Or was it Salt Lake City? Maybe it was Salt Lake City. It was Salt Lake City Airport. Either way, Denver. It was Denver. Never mind. It was Denver. And it was miserable, and I hated it. But, so I'm tired, and I wanted to sleep it off, so I was going to sleep in, and I was going to miss the Jeannie Clark, Lady Blossom Q&A, the seminar. And all of a sudden, I get a text from Greg Price asking me if I would do the Jeannie Clark seminar. I said, oh, great, sure. Let me take a shower and get downstairs. And so I did that, and we did the Jeannie Clark seminar. It went great. And he texts me again and says, hey, you want to do the next one for Mickie James? I did the Mickie James one. So I ended up doing all six seminars, all six Q&As with Mickie James and Austin Idol and Road Warrior Animal and Magnum TA and Jeannie Clark and Tony Schiavone. Now, you know, Tony and I both had broadcast careers. Mine was not at his level, but I could always tell that he was holding back. But I'm not going to sit there and tell you that for one second that I knew the Tommy Rich that we now know on his new podcast with Conrad Thompson, What Happened When. I mean, this is the Tony Schiavone that I kind of knew and knew that he was holding back. And, you know, when you thought of Tony Schiavone before, this is what you thought of.
One of the most disappointing, disheartening events in the history of our sport. The darkest moment in the history of our sport. 2 hours that has set the standard in our sport. 1 week away removed from one of the most blatant attacks in the history of our sport.
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport. The biggest match in pro wrestling history.
The two biggest superstars in our sport in the biggest event this sport has ever seen. The biggest match in the history of our sport.
6 days away from the biggest night the sport has ever seen.
Two big stars in the history of professional wrestling in what will go down as the grandest night ever.
Last night at Starcade was the biggest night in professional wrestling history. As the biggest night in the history of this great organization.
So, you know, I don't have to tell you, there was a lot of stuff out there on social media about Tony Schiavone and the history of our sport. And I expected Tony Schiavone at the Q&A to just hold back and to just be the Tony Schiavone that we saw on Monday Nitro and the 605 show and all of that. And to be honest, I was not looking forward to doing a Q&A with Tony Schiavone. And as we were waiting backstage to go on, there was a whole bunch of old WCW employees like Jenny Engel and a few other people. And they had, and I was in the area. I wasn't eavesdropping, but I was responsible to get Tony on stage. So I kept a polite distance. So I wasn't eavesdropping, but I could see them, and they were all gathered around Tony, and I couldn't hear what he was saying, but he was killing. And it was obvious that everybody around Tony, he had just like a magnet, everybody was attracted to him. And Tony, when he came out on stage, he killed. He was the highlight of the whole NWA Fan Fest, and he surprised me. He surprised everybody. And after we were done, and he was so funny and so personable, and the crowd just loved him, and I thought, and he was so money. And after we were done, I told him that, and he'll tell this story when we get back here in a second, I told him he should do a podcast. And a couple of weeks ago on Twitter, I was one of the people that he thanked for his success of his podcast, because he credits me with giving him the idea. But I'll tell you what, he was so great and so brilliant. And I'm sure if you're not listening to What Happened When, I'm sure you do, but if you don't, you should. But let me tell you this, as great as that podcast is, in person, Tony is even better. He is a live audience guy, and he's so funny, and he's so interactive, and he feeds off the laughter and the energy of the crowd. So I can tell you this, I haven't seen any of his appearances with Conrad or Bruce Pritchard, but if Tony comes to your area, I cannot stress this enough, go, because he's so funny and so great. So when we come back, we are going to talk to Tony Schiavone, and it will be the greatest wrestling road story in the history of our sport.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Somebody on my Facebook page told me I needed to play that song, so there you go. Yes, indeed, it's the old 605 theme, and we will have Tony Schiavone here in just a second. I thought I had him in the call waiting room, but we'll see what happens here, see if he can get back. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
Tony,
hey.
It's Jim Valley.
Hey, Jim.
How are you, man? Hey, we're on the air, just so you know. How are you, man?
I'm fine. How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm going great. Hey, before I put you on the air, I was talking about, you know, it's been a year almost to the day that we met last year and did that Q&A at Greg Price's Fan Fest. And,
right.
You know, and I told you this a couple of times, man, you killed so great at that show. I knew, you know, from my broadcast career that I could tell that when, you know, through your time on Crockett and Nitro and what have you, that you were holding back and being very professional and going through the marching orders. But I had no idea. I mean, you were so funny and you were so great that night.
Well, Jim, that means a lot to me. And when MLW and I talked about going on the road, I thought about what you said to me. You said, you know, you need to take this on the road because you kicked ass. And I said, well, if Jim thought it, then maybe it's worth it. So
you absolutely
that.
Did. I was just telling everybody listening that as good as the podcast that you and Conrad Thompson do with What Happened When on every Monday on MLW Radio, that I think that and I encouraged everyone when you come to town, and I don't know if you're going to continue to do these or what the story is, but to come and see you live, because you are definitely, in my opinion, a live crowd guy. And I think that everyone who goes If you're anything like you were at Charlotte, and I'm sure you are, it'll kill. You'll have a great time.
Well, we did one in Dallas. Those are not easy things to do, Jim, but they're just not. And it was a lot of fun. We brought in Bruce Pritchard with us at the end of it, and or after tickets had been on sale, and tickets were kind of soft. I'm not so sure Dallas was a good place for me to start doing the show. I think if I'm going to go live, maybe the old Mid-Atlantic territory would be good. But we tried to get it to where it was around Great Balls of Fire and where wrestling fans will be in town. So ticket sales were soft, and they ended up being pretty good. And Bruce came in, and we did a kind of a combined show about my year in the WWF or WWE. And it was a lot of fun, and I told a lot of jokes, and I tried to be irreverent and funny and tried to be the kind of person that I am, which is not the person that everybody saw on television for all those years.
And that was one of the things, and I told the people before I had you on the air that initially, you know, I wasn't looking forward to interviewing you because I thought you were going to hold back. And, you know, I was responsible to get you out on stage. So before, you know, we'd officially met, I saw you backstage there, and I was just kind of keeping an eye on you to make sure that we got you on stage on time. And I kind of kept my distance, but like Janie Engel and all of your old colleagues from WCW, that's when I first raised my eyebrow. Because they were around you and you were holding court and they were just loving it. And I was like, right. Maybe there's something more to this Schiavone guy.
Yeah. Well, there really is. And so we've turned it into a podcast that I really didn't want to do, but Conrad convinced me. And then we went live with it in Dallas and we plan to do it some more. So I'm, you know, there's been a lot of people on social media that says we're glad you're back in the business. I'm really not back in the business, and I guess maybe in a way I am, but I'm kind of back talking about it. And this podcast has, you know, led to a lot of things, more appearances, I've got a radio show of my own in Atlanta now. On Wednesday nights, we're doing one tonight, 9 to 11 on 92.9 The Game. The big FM sports talk station. So it's opened up some things for me that I never thought I would get back into.
And I think it's great. And that's another thing that I learned from interviewing you last year. And I'm glad so many more fans realize that now, that you're not the bitter guy that everyone tried to portray you as. That you know, and I'm so glad about that because I think you deserve that. Because honestly, I mean, I know that it's a joke between you and Conrad, and it's a shtick, but you know, I think that you have taken, and we talked about this at FanFest, I think that you have taken more than your share of abuse and ridicule for the stuff that your bosses made you do, and you were just being a good soldier.
Well, you know, it's funny that, and I didn't go back and listen to much of the stuff at all. I didn't listen to any of the stuff after WCW went out of business, and I never got the network, never picked up the network. So I didn't want to watch any of our stuff. But, you know, everybody goes back to that one moment where we talked about Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, Mankind, whatever, winning the world title. And I said what I said, and apparently everybody tuned in. And everybody talks about that one moment. And I've got my middle son, Chris, who watches all the stuff. He kept telling me, he said, you know, Dad, he said, they say that, but if you go back and you listen to Monday Nitro, before you even started, Bischoff used to give away the stuff all the time. So it wasn't just you. That was being done all the time before you started doing Nitro. And then I listened to some of the stuff, and he's right. But I was the voice of it back then because I did everything, Jim. So I can understand how all that would be put on me. And it's no big deal. It never was a big deal to me.
One of the things I want to recreate for the fans, we talked about it at FanFest. I want to talk about two stories that still stick out of my mind. The first one is when you were hired by the Crockett's to go from the Charlotte O's when you had pitched being the wrestling announcer for the 605 show, I guess what's now known as the 605 show. Tell everybody how you were introduced to all of the wrestlers how David Crockett let you, an outsider, in on the gimmick, in on the business, so to speak.
Well, I have to preface this, Jim, by saying I grew up in Virginia, so I was a big Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling fan. So I watched Ric Flair. I watched Ricky Steamboat. I saw the Anderson Brothers. I saw Greg Valentine. I saw all the guys. I was a big fan. I loved Bob Caudle. And I listened to Bob Caudle do Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling and David Crockett. So I got the job doing the Charlotte O's, and they were owned by the Crocketts. And I got the job in 82, and I kept telling Francis, you know, if you guys need a wrestling announcer, listen, Francis, I love this stuff. I watched it. Not only did I watch wrestling, I watched you guys. I watched Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. Well, they finally let me in 83, right before Starrcade, go to Ric Flair's house and do the interview with Ric Flair, talking about a Flair for the gold and going up against Harley Race. So I did that interview, which is a big deal for me to be able to finally meet Ric Flair. And, you know, Flair wasn't the national name he is now, but he was a big name back in the Carolinas. So I did that interview, and they liked it. Apparently Flair liked it. And so Francis, about a week later, I guess, I came back from one of these horrible sales calls that you have to do in minor league baseball, going out and just knocking on doors, trying to get 10 signs, program ads, tickets sold. I came back that day, and Francis said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. She said, I knew this would happen, but they liked your work with that one thing you did with the Flair. They want you to come down now to the studio, which was also the Crockett office. We want you to do the interviews, the local promos. Well, that was the lifeblood of what they did back then. And that's the reason you watched it. You watched it to see all these different characters, but you also watched to see where Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling is coming to your area. So I was going to do the interviews. So I walked back and I stopped in to see Jimmy Crockett first. And it was on a Wednesday, because we always did them on a Wednesday. And Jimmy Crockett said, you're going to see things here today that not many people get to see. I'm telling you, what you see here stays here. Everybody in this works in this office respects the business. So we expect you to respect it too. And I said, no problem, man. No big deal. So David came in, David Crockett came in, and I got up and David walked me in the back. And Jim, there was this double door. It was a wooden door that opened up to the garage area, which was a makeshift studio. And that door opened up and my world completely changed. There was Ric Flair with his arm around Ricky Steamboat. There were the Andersons, you know, buddying up with some baby faces. I particularly remember Flair and Steamboat's arm around each other. And I'm thinking, holy smokes! This is, it's a work. It's a work. I can't believe it's a work. Because back then, you thought it was a work, and I didn't know what the term work meant back then. You thought it was a work, but you didn't know. It was always that hook. But now I was revealed to everything. And it was a day I'll never forget. I'll never forget the visual of Flair and Steamboat with their arm around each other, two bitter enemies. Greg Valentine came over to Gene Anderson. He said, what's this kid doing here? Gene said, he's going to start doing the promos. And I got to know Jimmy Valiant that day. Magnum TA was there. Tully Blanchard came in. And they were all just buddy buddies. They ate fried chicken and hung out together and did promos. And we moved from one colored set to the other and did them. And that's how I was exposed to the business. But it was a moment I will never forget. And I went, I stayed professional, but inside I was going, oh, my God, look, oh, there's Flair. There's Steamboat. There's Greg Valentine. Oh, it's just crazy. It was a moment I'll never forget.
That's amazing. I mean, back then, you know, there's been stories like, for example, Gary Michael Capetta in the WWWF when he was the ring announcer. You know, they wouldn't let him in the dressing room for years and years and years. That's just incredible,
right?
That they let you in and so few people even flinched that early in your tenure.
Yeah, I know. A guy named Big Bill Ward was doing the interviews back then. And Bill was like in his 70s, maybe pushing 80. And he was doing them, and it was pretty apparent to me, and I hated this because I think I have enough forethought to see what was coming. I knew that they were putting me in and moving Big Bill Ward out. So they would have Big Bill Ward do a couple, then they would have me do a couple, and then a month later,
was no longer Big Bill Ward. It was me. And I pretty much got along with everybody. Really struck up some great friendships back there. You know, that was, you had to go back there back in those days and live it to understand what it was like. And I'm talking about back in the studios. We're talking about 10 o'clock in the morning till maybe 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And interview after interview after interview after market after market after market, and using different wrestlers, and different wrestlers come in. I remember one time I just basically, Jim, I stood up there the entire time. Never really took a break. I would get maybe a Coke or something they would hand me, but I never really took a break unless something crashed or something and they had to stop down. But I basically went back and forth and back and forth. I can even remember, and Lois will attest to this, I had a car wreck, and I crashed our station wagon, and I broke my patella. I broke my kneecap. So I was in a cast from my hip all the way down to my ankle, full leg cast. And this happened on a Monday. And on Wednesday, I was in there standing up. Lois ripped a pair of jeans for me, and I stood up on one crutch whenever we had a break, and I would hop in and do the interviews that day, and I did it on one leg that day. So it was a big work day, but it was a close-knit session. Everybody was there. Everybody got to know each other. Everybody got along. It was a lot of stories told, a lot of laughing going on. I know Gene Anderson used to get really mad because he would have to chase Ric Flair down, because Ric Flair's attention span back then was probably what it is now, which is zero. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, tell the story, and I wish I would have known this in Charlotte, but tell the story of where you helped Jimmy Valiant cut a promo for Memphis when he was wrestling Tony Falk. Didn't you do that? And that's Falk, F-A-L-K, by the way.
Yeah, right, right. Well, he came in and, you know, he said, Falk this and Falk that, right? For Memphis. Tony Falk, Falk this, Falk that. And then he starts speaking in tongues. And it was something like, Tony Falk, Falk this, Falk that. And he walked out. And I said, let's bring in the United States heavyweight champion, Magnum T.A. And Magnum, who never laughed, who always was in character, just could not continue. Could absolutely not continue. He just absolutely broke down and started laughing. So, that was the one. And we used to do things like that for different territories. If Bob Geigel needed something, we would do things for him as well, and things for all over the country back then. And that was right at the end, you know, of territories, really. I feel very fortunate I got in. But another story about that, doing those promos back then, I didn't necessarily get to meet all the guys until they would come up and do an interview with me. And after the interview was over, shake hands. Hi, nice to meet you. Well, I'm looking in the back, and I see Baron Von Raschke's bald head come through the door. And I'm doing an interview, so I can't go up to meet him. And it is a six-man tag team match where Jimmy Valiant brings in, I don't know who he brought in to help him, against Paul Jones. Then I'm going to bring in my man from Germany, Baron Von Raschke. And he comes in, and he, you know, does the claw, and he talks in his German voice, and we go 3, 2, 1, cut. And he turns around, and in this very soft-spoken English Midwestern accent says, hi, Jim Raschke, nice to meet you. And I went in my, you know, inside, I went, oh my God, he's not a German. So that's one of the things that I remember, meeting Jim Raschke and seeing Jim Raschke for what his gimmick was, and then, you know, 15 seconds later, seeing him as Jim Raschke.
Hey, Tony, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay right there. When we come back, we'll take some calls, and I also want to touch on the story you told at FanFest, because we made a news a couple of weeks ago, Ric Flair's 30 for 30 interview on ESPN, and Tony was interviewed by ESPN, or by the production company that did the 30 for 30 for ESPN, and you'll never believe what they talked about and what they asked Tony about. when it comes to Ric Flair. We'll talk about that next on Wrestling Road Stories.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Jim Valley on Wrestling Road Stories here on the PW Torch Livecast. And if you want, you can download this commercial free. If you sign up and become a VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip, we're here every Wednesday, 5 o'clock on the East Coast in the United States, 2 o'clock on the West Coast, and download it and listen at pwtorchlivecast.com. So glad to have Tony Schiavone, who I met a year ago at the NWA Fan Fest. And sincerely, if you go see Tony live and see his Jimmy Valiant impression in person, complete the Woogie Man machinations, that is worth the ticket price alone. It's tremendous. You kill in person, Tony.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It means a lot.
So when we were at FanFest, we talked about you were interviewed for the Ric Flair 30 for 30. Do you know if you're in it or not? Do you know?
Yes, Flair told me that I was in it, so I made the cut.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so, how about that?
Was there anything, I don't know, unusual that they asked you about?
Yeah. You know how to lead me into this, don't you? The producer's name is Rory Karp, and he's done a lot of 30 for 30s for ESPN. He did the one on Tim Richmond. In Richmond's early demise, he died of AIDS, and so they did that. So he was asking me questions, and he brought me into this house. Now, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time. I was doing minor league baseball for the Gwinnett Braves, which I still do. And he had me come to his friend's house, and it was a real nice setup, and they had me sit in a chair. And he started asking me all these questions about Rick and how what I thought of him as a wrestler and as a person, as a friend, because I consider myself a friend of his. And he kept asking me questions about, have I seen Ric Flair's penis? And I said, what? He said, well, I was wondering if you have been one of the many that have seen Ric Flair's penis. And I said, well, yeah, but everybody has. And then he went on to ask me another question. When exactly, can you name the time that Ric Flair exposed himself to you? And I said, no, I can't. And we answered another question. He went back to the penis questions again. And I said, Rory, why are we talking about Ric Flair's penis on a 30 for 30 about him? He said, because everybody that I've talked to, every wrestler that I've talked to, talks about his penis. And I said, oh, okay. So what do you want to know? Its size? I mean, it's very large, at least it was back when he was younger, you know. He's pushing 70 now, maybe all shriveled up now, I don't know. And he said, no, it's really become quite a topic for everybody who's ever known him or worked with him. So God love Ric Flair. You got to know him to appreciate him, and he did this a lot of times just like a comedy routine. So I'm sure that they're going to talk about Ric Flair's penis at 30 on 30, and then they'll say, and Tony Schiavone said this. So I'm sure that's the part, instead of talking about Ric Flair the wrestler, which I wanted to talk about, and Ric Flair the great champion, I'm going to talk about Ric Flair and his penis. Am I allowed to say penis on here?
Well, we are now. I think it's a body part. We're saying the proper the proper verbiage, so we should be okay.
Well, yeah, it's right. It's what doctors say. So.
Yeah. So I think we're good in that regard. I just hope that when you're on the 30 for 30, the graphic underneath your name doesn't say Tony Schiavone expert Ric Flair's penis.
No,
I don't think it will. And actually,
okay, good.
If I am an expert, then I'm sure 50 or 40 people, 50, 60 people are as well.
Yeah, you're probably not even in the top 10 of people who have seen it the most.
Yeah.
Hey, I had a question from Social. They wanted to talk about some of your influencers, and they wanted to know, somebody on Facebook wanted to know about Gordon Solie. Was Gordon any bit of a mentor at all to you?
Well, I knew who Gordon was, and I was, like all of us, a big fan of his. I did not really grow up watching that much, but I had a chance to work with him. And I had heard a lot of his work for Starcade, actually. I had a chance to work with him, and he was, Jim, he was wonderful to work with. He and I did Worldwide Wrestling for, I don't know how long they had us on there together, but we worked really well together. He was a professional. And I think every wrestling announcer should have listened to Gordon call matches and the way he called them and the way he made things authentic. Gordon always told me, he said, it doesn't matter what you say, but if you say it with conviction and you say it that you mean it and you say it that you believe it in yourself, then the fans will believe it as well. And that's one of the things that I always took from working with him.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I don't know that we got into detail about it at FanFest, and I'm not sure that I've heard anything specifically on your podcast with Conrad, What Happened When, on MLW Radio, but when you went to the WWF for that year in 89, 90, obviously you had a lot of experience, and I don't know if I told you this, but I actually went to an audition years ago to be an announcer, and I didn't make the cut, but did you go in there? Did they, what type of advice did they give you about your work? And did you just appreciate it because Gorilla was nice to you in giving advice, or what did he teach you that you didn't know previously?
I don't know if he taught me anything I didn't know previously, but he, I think what he taught me was to stay positive, in the face of a lot of things that would come my way. You know, Vince got to the point to where he really didn't like my work when I was there. At least that's what Bruce Pritchard told me. And then I've gone on to, you know, got to know Bruce very, very well. And but Vince didn't like my work, and Gorilla told me always to stay positive, follow direction, and that I would be fine. He was just a very nice man to be around. They were on me a lot about, if you're ready for this, my Southern twang.
I still don't hear it, honestly. I really don't.
Well, believe you me, I had one, but I didn't have one back then, which really kind of blew me away if you think about it, because years later there was JR, and you know he's got one. So if they had problems with mine, they certainly had problems with his, or they either said, ah, the heck with it. That's who he is, and we'll go with it. But they drove me pretty hard. There was a rumor that they sent me to a vocal coach. That is not true. They never did. Had they done so, I would have loved it. I would have loved that, had a chance to do that. So Gorilla taught me about staying positive, staying, you know, make sure you stay excited. Make sure you keep the energy up. He helped me with all of that, and was just a great man to work for. And, you know, I was moved into a position with a legend like himself. You know, they moved out Bobby Heenan because they were going to do a Bobby Heenan show, and they moved me in with Gorilla on Challenge, and I felt kind of odd because here is Gorilla, who's, you know, my God, he did WrestleMania III. And he's one of the great play-by-play, I thought one of the great play-by-play men of all time. So it was kind of, but he made me feel comfortable. And he kept, he was like a mentor to me for that 1 year I was there.
Did you ever do any live broadcasts where Vince was in your ear producing you or yelling at you? Because I know that's something he does now. Did he do that back then?
No, he did not. Bruce Pritchard was in my ear back then. And I'm sure Vince talked to Bruce, but Vince was never on the headset with me at all. And I did SummerSlam 89, and I did Royal Rumble 1990. And he was not in my ear, either one.
I can only
imagine. And I did,
I also did an MSG live show on MSG Network, and a live show at the Boston Garden on on New England Sports Network. He didn't even go to New England, but he wasn't in my ear then either. So, but apparently I've heard the stories you've heard that he really jumps on guys and really talks. And I can hear some of the stuff they do now. I can hear when like Tom Phillips is fed a line. I can hear that when he says something. But I never mind being produced. I never mind being produced at all. I want to do exactly what you want me to do. And if you want to give me lines to say and you think that's the way I should say them, you know, please do it. I always got upset when somebody would produce me in WCW and would tell me a line to say that I had just said. And that happened a lot because we were so helter-skelter and disorganized that a producer, I'm not going to say any names, would be listening to me, take the headset off, go talk to a wrestler about the next match, put the headset on, start watching the match, and then all of a sudden they would say something I just said. That I never liked. I never mind being produced at all. I want to be produced. I want to do the things the right way.
Speaking of Bobby Heenan, the WWF, the latest podcast from Tony Schiavone talks about Bobby Heenan, some of the comments Bobby has made about Tony, his experiences with Bobby, and also coming up, if you go and like the Facebook page at What Happened When Mondays on Facebook, you can find it. If they get 7,500 people, I believe, liking that, they're going to do a bonus show talking about Lex Luger winning the world title here. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary. I want to take a break here real quick, Tony. And I do want to talk about, you know, I just associate something about wrestling in the summertime. And that world title win with Lex Luger was exciting. And the year before when the NWO invaded and there was Disney World, you guys were down at the Disney Studios. It was outdoors. There's just something about, you know, the Great American Bash, SummerSlam. There's just something about this time of year and pro wrestling. And we'll take some calls coming up from listeners at Wrestling Road Stories, Jim Valley, the PW Torch Livecast.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
And don't forget, Wade Keller has got that new show over at Podcast One. He reviews Raw, he reviews SmackDown and all that stuff. Be sure to subscribe over at Podcast One. And be sure to join me each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast, Wrestling Road Stories, where we just talk wrestling with people like my guest today, Tony Schiavone, who I'm very grateful to have here. So, Tony, what is it? What do you think? There's something about, I was thinking about this, wrestling and the summertime. I don't know if it's just like the heat makes us aggressive and we want to watch some wrestling, but some of my favorite times in wrestling are those Disney studio tapings when the NWO first launched, maybe just because it seems so real and so threatening. And also, you know, those first couple of Road Wild, Hog Wild, there's just, I don't know, what is it you think it is about wrestling in the summertime and that era, those 90s WCW cards?
I can't explain it, Jim. I can tell you this. Conrad and I were talking about today when we were talking about wrestling in the summertime, oddly enough. And I mentioned to him that back in the old days, and I'm talking about the old Crockett days, the big business came in the fall.
Yeah.
So that kind of changed in summer. And, it could be that the fact that, you know, we had first-run shows in the summer, and a lot of shows were not first-run in the summer, and they waited, of course, till the fall for the new season. And that could have been it, that you've got original programming with us during the summer, 52 weeks out of the year. That could have been it. But when you talk about, man, I tell you, we had it great at Disney. We had it great at Disney. Those were wonderful times. But we did a lot of things that were wrong at Disney, and that certainly hurt our relationship with them, you know. You know, when they did that thing with that angle where they threw Rey Mysterio Jr. into the trailers. Yeah, like a lawn dart. And then they brought in, you know, they brought in an emergency vehicles and everything. That's something that Disney does not want their people coming to their parks to see, you see. And even though it was make-believe, we try to make it seem real, and they didn't take too kind of that at all. So I think that hurt our relationship with them. But, man, being able to go to Disney and work the summers, you know, we pulled up stakes in 1996 from Atlanta because the Olympics were in Atlanta in 96, and our offices were at the CNN Center, which was kind of like ground zero for the Olympics. So we closed our offices in Atlanta the entire Olympic run, actually for a whole month, and moved to Disney. We had a bungalow in the backstage area at MGM Studios and spent the whole summer at Disney. And it was just, it was a great time to work for WCW, I tell you that.
I don't want you to give anything away, but I know that you guys are going to do that bonus show more than likely about Lex Luger. And I'm not saying Luger was the greatest wrestler in the world or the biggest star or, you know, by all accounts, the nicest guy. But, you know, there were times, you know, this, when he wrestled Flair the first time in say, like 88 to 90, I think he was pretty hot. And also when he won that world title, he was pretty hot. And I think some people, you know, take away some of the success that and try to downplay the level of star that Lex Luger was at various points in his career.
No, he was, you know, Luger was kind of an anomaly in that he wasn't the greatest worker. He wasn't the greatest talker, but he looked good. Therefore, he, quote unquote, was over as a big star. And he was a different type of guy to deal with, too. And I always had a good relationship with him. He rubbed a lot of the wrestlers the wrong way. But, you know, this show that we're going to be talking about was one of our biggest shows ever. It was the first time we had gone 3 hours. It was the 100th Nitro. And if you go back and you watch that on the network, you'll see a pretty exciting finish to the match and a good celebration. And it was a pretty darn good show. It really was. And you know, listen, pat on the back to Hulk Hogan. You know, he had final say so in whatever happened to him, and he agreed to do the job for Lex on one of our highest rated shows ever, and it ended up being good business for us.
Let's take a couple of phone calls here. Let's go to area code 240. 240, you're on the air with Tony Schiavone. Who's this? Where are you calling from, and what do you got for Tony?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland. My question for Tony is, was there ever a push for you to do a match like Jim Ross did in WWF? Because there was really a push for announcers sometimes to do a match when there was like a heel authority figure involved in the program.
Yeah. You know, the only angle that they wanted me to do was something with Tank Abbott. And that's, of course, once Vince Russo got with us. And he wanted Tank Abbott to grab my son at ringside and me to step in. And as Russo told me, he said, Tank Abbott's just going to give you a gut shot. That's it. And I said, you know what? I'll do anything for you at all, but I don't trust Tank Abbott at all. And so we didn't do it, but no, there was nothing as far as the match was concerned that they ever had asked me to do. And I would have done it. I mean, I've got a bad neck. I really do. I had neck surgery in 95, but I still would have done it. If I would have been able to have been put in there with a guy who knew how to work and take care of the partner, I would have been glad to do it.
And another question I have for you, have you ever had a chance to read the book Duff at WCW? I just wondered if there was anything that wasn't true in that book.
I didn't read it. No, I don't want, you know what? And I appreciate that. I don't want to go back and relive that stuff. I don't. I lived it. And, you know, if you think about it, it may help me in my podcast now to be able to go back and relive some of that stuff. But I just try to ignore it.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Ryan dialing in at 515-605-9345. Let's go to 862. 862, you're on the livecast. Who's this, and what do you got for Tony Schiavone?
It's Kylan, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, Kylan. What do you got for Tony, my friend?
Okay. My first question for you, Tony, is if you had your choice, would you have ever said the line, "This is the greatest night in the history of our sport," or considering your reputation as it later became, do you regret ever being told to say that at all?
Now, you know what? That was a line that was given to me one time, and I kind of ran with it on my own, and I kind of went over the top. Well, I kind of went over the top. I really went over the top with it. I don't regret it. A lot of the stuff we did back then was silly, and I was in a bad place. So I was trying to be over the top as well. And
you know, Tony,
I remember
considering all your T-shirts, that should be a T-shirt. That's going to be a bestseller right there. You're going to make a ton of phone calls if you make that T-shirt with your face on it. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. You know, I probably should I probably should copyright that line. But, Jim, I remember when we went down and everybody used to say, you know, that's all Shivani says is this is the greatest night in the history of wrestling or this is the greatest night in the history of our great sport. And I remember thinking, did I really say it that much? And I put in a video cassette and watched one of our shows, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. Oh, my God, that's horrible. And I stopped it, and I never did watch it again until I started doing – never did watch my stuff again until we started doing the podcast in January.
Yeah, you really should make that – that seems like a natural T-shirt. Once again, I'm giving you money-making ideas. Sheesh.
Thank you, Jim. See? You're the man that – you're the man that suggested I go live, and now you're suggesting that I'll give you, let's see, for every T-shirt we sell with that thing on it, I'll give you, I don't know, 35 cents? How does that sound?
Where's my blue apron? Where are my razors, Tony? That's what I want to know.
What about Simply Safe?
That too.
That too.
Yes.
Jim.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard it, but some guy rang my doorbell just a couple of minutes ago while we were on the air.
I
don't even know who that was. Could be looting my house right now for all I know. But no. Conrad Thompson stole, and he was in the audience, by the way, that day we did the show too. So
I know he was. Yeah. I know he
was. Yeah, that thief Conrad Thompson.
Yeah.
Badmouthed me all the time, says I'm just the worst and steals my idea.
Yeah, I know. He said you're the worst kind of fan too.
Yeah, that's right. And you know who else? You know who else I did a show with and is now doing a podcast? Austin Idol.
Yeah. Oh my God!
I know. Everyone's just ripping me off left and right. Working for Wade Keller for free. Jeez, what a jip my life is. Anyway.
I know.
No, in all honesty, I am very, very happy for you, man. Because like I told you, I mean. You know, I know that what you and Conrad do is a shtick and for the show and all of that. But, you know, the greatest night in the history of our sport and having to probably answer that Mick Foley question, like every day of your life, I think you've taken a lot. I'm really glad. I hope that, you know, you're making a little something off this deal. And I know that, you know, speaking for me and fans in Charlotte and probably who watched you on Nitro and all that, I think we're all glad you're back, and we're glad that you're speaking for you and setting the record straight on a lot of this stuff.
Well, you know, I'm honest about the things I answer. I will not purposely bury anybody. I know a lot of people have buried a lot of people in wrestling on podcasts, and as they say, shooting on people. I shoot, but I don't talk bad about anybody because it gets you nowhere. And to be honest with you, there were very, very few people in the wrestling business, either in the front office or as a wrestler or that I work with on an equal basis or even worked under me, that were unkind to me. Almost everybody was good to me. So I can't say bad things about people because I have nothing bad to say. I can tell you that Eric Bischoff got on me a lot and said some very unkind things to me about my work, but would always apologize to me. And he was hard and difficult to work for at times. But so everything I say on all these things, you know, yeah, we do jazz it up. We try to be funny. We try to be irreverent. But I'm pretty much telling the truth as I saw it on all these podcasts.
Well, look, man, in all seriousness, if you go out on tour again and Conrad really doesn't want to go, if you need me to be on stage, you don't even have to advertise me. You're the star. If I can help facilitate, let me know. I'd be happy to assist if you want to keep this up, because I think you're great. And I think as great as the podcast is, I think you're even better in person, feeding off the live crowd. And I think you're even more off the cuff and feeding off the energy of the audience. I think it's tremendous.
Jim, I appreciate that. And I had a great time with you last year. I'm really sorry the Fan Fest didn't happen this year. I was looking forward to it again. But again, I remember what you told me, and I remember that interview, and I'll always remember it. If I do need you, by golly, if I need somebody, you'll be the man I call, because to be honest with you, I talk to Conrad once a week. I don't need to see him live at a show either.
No kidding. That
Conrad,
guy.
Tom, yeah, in my life.
That guy's just the worst.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, if you do want to see that interview with Tony, and he talks about some stuff that we weren't able to cover and some things that he hasn't covered on what happened when, but you can find it at NWALegends.com. You look under last year's Fan Fest, and you can buy the video package and you can buy it on Vimeo, and you'll get an hour with Tony. You'll get an hour with Jeannie Clark and Austin Idol, Road Warrior Animal, Magnum TA, and Mickey James. So you get like basically 6 1-hour shoot interviews, plus the show that happened that night, plus the awards banquet, plus a roast of Ole Anderson. So you're getting like 16 hours of content, and I forget what it costs. It's not that much, but go check it out. I think it's some pretty high quality stuff. Oh, and Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin too. I forgot about Gorgeous
right.
Jimmy, Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. So there's some good stuff. But look, man, by the way, I live in Seattle, and I know you're a big Starbucks guy. If you ever come out here, or you should, let me know, because I know people at Starbucks, and maybe I can get you into like the employee store and stuff.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, you know, I'm an employee already.
Right. But I mean, I can get you in like the door of the big, big corporate headquarters.
Oh, you got it. Absolutely.
And we'll take you to the original Starbucks too.
Oh, I'd love to do that. Absolutely love to do that. Greatest people in the world work at Starbucks. Greatest people in the world. When they say it's one of the greatest places in the world to work, in the United States to work, they're exactly right. I do want to say this, if I can promote this, I'm going to be at the Icons of Wrestling, I guess at the old ECW Arena, coming up August 11th and 12th in Philadelphia. So I hope to meet fans there. So I'll be there for that.
Oh, my God. August 12th at the old ECW Arena. Tony Schiavone at the old ECW Arena. 20 years ago,
yeah,
fans would have gone crazy. That would have been sacrilege.
I know. Exactly right. But apparently they do autograph signings there now, and they do collector's days there. And so it's called the Icons of Wrestling. I'm going to be there with RF Video, and I look forward to seeing everybody. JR is going to be there. Rock and Roll Express is going to be there. I saw King Kong Bundy is going to be there. There will be a lot of people. It's Icons of Wrestling.
Well, Tony, I appreciate your time here today. And everyone, you can follow Tony on Twitter at TonyShivani24. The podcast is What Happened When. It drops on Mondays at MLWRadio.com. And if you see Tony, if he's coming to your neck of the woods for a live appearance, or more importantly, a live show, go, because it's great. And I think on behalf of wrestling fans, it's so great to have you back. And I hope you're having a good time. And I hope that you're making money to pay for the family wedding.
Yeah, I'm doing that, Jim. Thank you very much. Call me anytime. I really enjoy talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. There's Tony Schiavone. What a great guy. It's such an honor to meet him and to know him now. What a thrill last year at NWA Fan Fest. Next week, we're going to talk to Brennan Martin. He is the grandson of Christine Jarrett, who is Jerry Jarrett's mom and the grandmother also of Jeff Jarrett. She's the matriarch of the Memphis Wrestling family. New book out called Teeny, Professional Wrestling's Grand Dame. And we will talk to him. And you want to talk about wrestling road stories? That is amazing as far as that goes. So next week, next Wednesday, wrestling road stories. I think you're going to hear some great stuff about the Jarretts, about Memphis wrestling, about Jeff, about Jerry. and Christine Jarrett, otherwise known as Teenie. And she ran a bunch of towns in the Memphis territory, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we will talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you for the great numbers throwing up here on the live cast. Please keep it coming. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Valley, also on Facebook. But if by chance we don't have the same mutual friends or something, send me a message so that way I'll know to add you. So next week, Wrestling Road Stories with Brennan Martin talking about Christine Jarrett and the Jarrett family. So we will talk to you next time. And remember, as always, kids, remember, you don't have to be white to be white trash.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. Now.